You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Orioles reporter, Brittany Giroli. And Brittany, as we record this podcast, a couple of losses in a row for the Orioles, still right there with the Red Sox near the top of the American League East. And a busy week as far as not just game action, but transactions for the Orioles. But let's start with a tough one to take on Tuesday night for Baltimore as they go extra innings with the Astros and strike out a whole bunch, 19 times in the game. They've struck out 40 times in the last three games. I know it's something where a team that's going to hit a lot of home runs is going to strike out a lot, but it really stands out when you get in one of these ruts, doesn't it, for a team like this when they're just the strikeouts seem to be coming in bunches?
Yeah, I mean, they've got 40 over the last three games, I think it is, and they had 19 last night, which is hard to do. Of course, they played 13 innings, so it makes it a little bit easier to do. But kind of knew this team was going to strike out. I think it's a testament to them that it really hasn't been an issue until late May.
Yeah, that's a good point, that you knew they would be striking out. And for almost 2 months of the season, it wasn't that bad. It says a lot about the run they got off to at the beginning of the season, for sure. And a guy that's kind of joined that good hitting streak for this team recently has been Matt Wieters, which has been nice to see. He got a homer on his 30th birthday, I know, on Saturday. But last five games for Wieters, 11 for 21, a couple of homers, four doubles, five RBIs, and he seems to be right back where he was when he initially went down with the injury.
Yeah, he does. I agree. I actually wrote the exact same thing the other day, that he looks kind of like the guy before Tommy John. And I think people forget he was having a career year, or at least he was on pace to, before he ended up having that Tommy John surgery. So he's finally back and finally healthy. I think you're kind of in uncharted territory as a catcher with Tommy John. You don't know how long it's going to take. And it's something that he finally feels okay. It's finally not in the back of his mind. And that's really good to see.
Let's get into some of these transactions, Brittany, because they've certainly been busy trying to add depth to the relief corps and some other things. And we were wondering what would happen with Brian Mattis, if he would be sent down or if he would lose his role. In the end, he actually gets traded, and he gets traded to a team who didn't really want his services either. They were just willing to take on that salary to get a draft pick. But the trade for Brian Mattis is they send him to Atlanta, along with the 76th pick in the draft coming up in June. The Orioles, though, get back a couple of young pitchers, Brandon Baker, Trevor Belichick, I'm guessing is the way to pronounce that name, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. Both those guys, or if you know, both those guys heading to the minor leagues, and the Orioles save the money on the Mattis deal. It seems like the way he was going, you do give up a pick, but this is a nice way to add some depth to your pitching in the organization.
Right, exactly. Brian Mattis wasn't pitching well. They wanted to find a way to get a little salary relief for him, and that's exactly what they did. They were able to get some young pitchers, and Buck said yesterday that they feel like they're a better team than they were the day before their move. So Brian Mattis, hopefully this will be good for him in the long term. He'll get a chance to start, things like that. But he just wasn't throwing well. The Orioles couldn't afford to keep going like that because their only other lefty is closer Zach Britton. So now instead, made a nice call-up, a real nice story, in adding a lefty rookie, Asher Tolliver.
Yeah, you mentioned Tolliver. 28 years old. He was actually in Double-A, not Triple-A, right? And they give him the call-up. Talk about him a little bit, because obviously he's a guy who's put in the time in the minor leagues and to finally get that call-up to the bigs.
Yeah, it's a super cool story. As you mentioned, from Double-A, 28 years old. He had labrum surgery in 2012. Kind of like Matt Wieters. It just took him 2 years to really feel right. Last year was the first year that he kind of caught the Orioles' eye a little bit. Could have been a free agent. Decided he wanted to stay with the Orioles organization because they have stuck by him through so much. Got his first invite this spring to big league camp. Continue to impress. And really is a testament to that whole system. And kind of shows other guys that the Orioles aren't afraid to call guys up from Double-A or Triple-A. They're going to take the best pitcher. And yeah, I know when he found out it was in Hartford after a 13-inning loss, and the whole team just swarmed around him. So it was a really cool moment. I think you can get so lost in the day-to-day stuff, and then something like this happens, and it just kind of reminds you of just how cool baseball can be at times.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the minor leagues, I think it gives the whole team a boost sometimes when they see one of their teammates getting the call up like that. Really cool. Now, was there a reason he was in Double A and not Triple A? Was he just not there yet, and they're maybe pulling him up a little bit early because they need that lefty, or was that just a better fit for him this season in his development?
Just a better fit. They called Michael Gibbons, who's in their bullpen, up from Double A. He was never in Triple A. Manny Machado was never in Triple A. You talk to kind of scouts and other organizations, they feel like Double A is the big separator anyway. So I think it's just a numbers game at that point in time where they're going to put guys, depending on Double A or Triple A. I don't think it's quite as big of a jump as people make it out to be. The jump to the major leagues, no matter what level you're at, is a big jump. But the difference between Double A and Triple A is often not that much. So, again, the Orioles have done this in the past. Not totally unexpected. The key is that he's left-handed and that he's throwing well.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like the only difference really between Double A and Triple A is the guys in Triple A tend to be a little older, because a lot of the guys in Triple A have been in the majors and gone back there, those back and forth kind of guys. Double A, you see more prospects on the way up. All right, so that's not all the moves, though, that the Orioles have made. They also signed Brian Dunsing to a minor league deal, and they made another minor move. They get Franderlin Romero from the Reds for a couple of international signing bonus slots. Where do those two guys fit into things with the Orioles?
Yeah, I think it's just more pitching depth for them. Dunsing in particular was very successful when he was with Minnesota. If you look at him, he was pitching well earlier this year, had an opt-out, decided that there was more opportunity here with Baltimore. And that's kind of the key. The Orioles have said all along is that they can out-opportunity people, and that's really what they're doing with a guy like Dunsing. Romero, I know they've done really good reports on him. They want to add a little more depth to the organization because right now, when you look at their pitching depth, there's not a whole lot of other starting options. That's why Ubaldo Jimenez has been struggling. He's still in the rotation. They don't have anybody kind of pushing the envelope to get up here and get into that rotation. So they're hoping some of these signings will help them a little bit more down the road.
Yeah, and fascinating to see all these transactions on a random week in May, but hey, it all came together around the same time. You mentioned pitching and the need for depth in that rotation. Yovani Gallardo continues to make his way back, threw off the mound for the first time exactly 1 month after leaving that start in Kansas City with the injury. What's next for Gallardo?
So he's going to throw a sim game on Saturday in Cleveland. He'll probably need one more, I think, after that, and then he'd go out on rehab assignment. And I think ideally they'd like to start him at that five-inning mark and then just kind of go from there, go based off of how he feels.
And hopefully he'll be back before too long to help this rotation and the bats hopefully will get going quickly again as well and cut down on those strikeouts they've had the last few games, get back to hammering the baseball. All right, great stuff as always. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Orioles edition. For Brittany Giroli, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.